This podcast is brought to you by WCR FM in Wolverhampton.
Hello and welcome to the Chris Allen podcast, brought to you in partnership with WCR FM, which you can hear on 101.8 FM via WCRFM.com or by telling your smart speaker to play WCR FM. And now across the city of Wolverhampton on DAB Digital Radio as well. In this episode, we're going to be hearing from Mark Brindley, talking very movingly about the loss of his son, James, about 7 years ago when James was tragically stabbed and killed. In February, I had the privilege of being part of a documentary being filmed by the BBC at WCRFM and featuring Mark. It will be aired later on in 2024. While Mark was with us, I took the opportunity to sit down with him and to hear his story. And we're airing this podcast at this particular time because knife crime has now struck right at the heart of our own city of Wolverhampton. I'm not sure whether it's perception or whether it's actual facts, but knife crime seems to be increasing. I'm very glad to say joining me now is Mark Brindley of the James Brindley Foundation. He'll be able to answer some of my questions. Mark, good to see you. Welcome.
Thank you.
And so therefore, you know, is it perception or are figures getting worse?
Figures are getting worse, sadly. There's no denying it. There was a moment last year where we thought we were seeing a downturn, but it was a temporary dip, and the figures are still showing a trajectory upwards.
And obviously, you know, we need to listen to your story as well from this. And obviously, you lost your son James about 7 years ago, mindlessly stabbed and killed, and now you're throwing your energy back into trying to save other young people's lives, which is an incredible thing to do. Tell us the story of James, though.
Well, it was June the 23rd in 2017 that James decided he was going to meet some friends in Aldridge. At 10:30, he popped his head around the lounge door and said, "I'm off to see some friends." And we said, "Have you got your key? Have fun." That was the last we saw of him, or the last we spoke to him ever. Apart from the fact that we saw him fighting for his life on the high street in Aldridge, having open heart surgery, and none of the paramedics realised that we were there because they were busy giving James heart massage.
Yeah.
And, you know, Beverly and I and our daughter, who was 22 at the time, witnessed that. And that's something that is indelibly imprinted in our minds. And it was 2.5 weeks later that the perpetrators were caught. And it was video footage that had been, it was domestically recorded video, but it might have been from a Ring doorbell or Ring doorbells, but that went out over the BBC, and that they were recognised, but 2.5 weeks later. And we went through a police investigation. We went through the trial in the Crown Court at Queen Elizabeth in Birmingham. And we went to the Royal Courts of Appeal in London. But we never got the truth.
Right.
And there's only one thing worse than losing your son in those kind of circumstances, and that is not knowing the truth.
You don't know why.
The truth...
Well, you know why in some ways. He was mindlessly stabbed, but you don't know what was behind it.
No, that's right. That was what provoked or prompted us to delve into, I think is the word, how could this possibly have happened, A, to our son, B, to where it happened, And what were the circumstances that led two brothers to decide they were going to stab an innocent passerby? How could that possibly have come? And, you know, as a family, we agonised over this constantly, and we still recap almost on a daily basis because we didn't get that truth. But the positive out of it is that it led to the James Brindley Full Circle programme. And these are this is the evidence that points to why young people pick up knives and why there is such a proliferation of serious youth violence.
And how do you, you know, you said it's indelibly marked, and I understand that, and you can never get over it. And in some ways it'd be wrong to get over it, because that would be to say, you know, James didn't mean as much to you as he obviously clearly did. If you love someone, then the grief of losing them is a proportionate to the love that you have for them. So I understand that. But how do you then survive as a family? And it's because you are revisiting your grief almost every day through the work that you're now doing.
Yeah. There is no question that our lives are a living hell. That is the truth. However, we all have our ways of coping with that. For me, I can't afford the luxury of being self-indulgent and becoming overwhelmed by that tragedy. I've got a wife and I've got a daughter. So I have to think about them first and foremost.
And if I don't, you know, forgive me asking something personally, it must have been a real strain on your marriage.
Yeah. For Beverly and for myself.
Because many marriages break down after a tragedy such as this.
Absolutely, yeah. And you know, thank goodness we've got a strong marriage.
Absolutely.
And I think it's testament to the strength of our marriage, because it is very difficult grieving together, because you grieve a different relationship. Beverly was a mother, I was a father, and those relationships are different. You grieve at different times. So I might be getting emotional when Beverly's feeling okay, and vice versa. And of course then, you know, that's complicated again by the fact that our daughter was still at home, and the balance of the family is different. It was two males and two females. Now it's two females and one male. Yeah. So yes, it gets complicated. But we are united by our love for James and our grief, and we do cope with the bits where things are a bit difficult and tempers get frayed and patience is lost, but we forgive again.
Yeah, well, you turned your daily hell into trying to help in others, which I find inspiring but also a little overwhelming. You know, I think I can't, there's no point in imagining what it would be like. You know, I have three sons, and no point in imagining, because I never can. I'm just thankful I don't have to go to the place that you've gone to. But you've turned this into the foundation, which obviously preserves James's memory in a very beautiful way, and now you're seeking to save other young people. And I think, you know, young people, very vulnerable, cost of living crisis is not helping at all, increasing the vulnerability in families as well, isn't it? Because there's a real alliance between here, poverty and some of the knife crime that we see.
Yeah, there's a very definite relationship between the two. Through our Full Circle programme, we have young people referred to us from schools, colleges, from the police, youth justice services, children's services. And, you know, the West Midlands and Walsall within the West Midlands have some of the most deprived areas, top percentile deprived areas in the country.
And we know that in Wolverhampton as well, patches across the Black Country where this happens. And that makes that increase that vulnerability exponentially almost.
It does, and the fact is that some of those young people, again, it's around 50% of the young people referred to us are from single-parent backgrounds, and the mother struggles financially. And on occasions, young people feel that they have to offend to help make ends meet in the family, which is another tragedy on top of tragedy, isn't it?
It is indeed. Now, we're going to look forward a little bit here, because we were going to have the Knife Angel, that spectacular sculpture coming to Wolverhampton. We were deprived by COVID, but you and I have sat down with the leader of the City Council and we got a promise from him that we're going to do our very best to get the Knife Angel into Wolverhampton as soon as we possibly can. And what's the kind of thing, when the Knife Angel comes to a city like Wolverhampton, what's the kind of impact that it can have?
I think the impact that I've seen in Lichfield and the impact that I've seen in Walsall more latterly, it is inspiring for me. So the Knife Angel inspired me when I saw it in 2019, and I made a personal commitment to get it to Walsall, with also an aspiration for it to do a Black Country tour.
Yeah.
Because the impact is so important, and part of that importance is raising awareness that knife crime, that is the manifestation of serious youth violence, is everybody's business. It's not just for governments and local authorities and police. Everybody has to take a stand against it and play a part. And that part for families starts in the home. And if there isn't the capacity in the home, then don't ignore the problems if you have problems. And what family doesn't have problems?
Absolutely.
Don't think there's a family in the country that is problem-free. Pick up the phone and speak openly and with confidence. And you can do that with the James Brindley Foundation or any other youth-focused charity.
And we'll get your details down for the foundation in moment or two's time. There's the old African proverb, it takes a village to raise a child, and that's applicable here, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
That all young people in our community belong to all of us.
Yes, absolutely. And I do think there's a tendency in society today to be overly self-interested, inward-looking. If something isn't affecting me directly, why should I bother? And I think society has got to look outwards as well as inwards. It's got to look outwards to the community. And giving a little bit of time and a little bit of care to what's going on in your local community could make a huge difference to youth violence.
Indeed. Well, you made your pledge when you saw the Knife Angel to get it to Walsall, and you managed to do it, and we're making ours today here at WCRFM that we will support that journey, and we'll work with the local authority and yourselves to make sure it comes along and give as much publicity as it possibly can do.
Yeah.
In order to try to impact very positively on the lives of young people in our city. So if people want to be in touch with the foundation, what's the best way to do that?
Yes, it's just jamesbrindleyfoundation.co.uk.
Mark, thank you very much indeed for sharing your story with us.
No, thank you for having me.
For more information about WCR podcasts, go to wcrfm.com/podcasts.